The Lord used that to bring in some rain for us. Amen. I got an alert on my phone this afternoon that aggravated me because, number one, it woke me up. Number two, it says the watch for rain, and it didn't happen. And so I've got to figure out how to turn that alert off. I don't want any more lying through my watch. But amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we'll begin a little journey over the next few weeks on the aspect or the thought of making a decision, a choice. I choose to honor God. And tonight we'll look at, and tomorrow, excuse me, and next Sunday night with this aspect of simply honoring God. We live in a time in society today that I never would have thought we would be where we are today. I mean, when I was growing up, and thinking about things and watching TV. I mean, how many of us remember the Jetsons? You know, here now we have flying cars, and they already had a test drive going out. But never did I think about the possibilities of a declining church. I was young. I did later, but I mean, as a young person, as a young adult, I was involved in church. I got really excited about serving the Lord in high school, particularly my senior year. And all that went, you know, just trying to serve the Lord and do the best I can. And as a young adult and getting married, going to college, getting married, going to the military, then leaving the military, going back to college to finish up. Through that, we began to see more of a decline, but still, we were seeing church growth. We were still seeing people open to hearing the gospel. And now today, and we don't need to be intimidated, and I don't want to scare you, but today it's a little more discerning talking to someone about the things of God. Not everyone is very receptive. In fact, those that are not receptive are nowhere as polite or respectful as day has gone by. And I think there's where the fear is. Not being fearful of someone will maybe do me wrong or harm, which that day may come. But again, our world is waxing worse and worse. And part of that problem we're having, I think, is in reference to honor. So if you have a handout, wonderful. If you don't, we can get you one. There are in the foyer on the back table. I put all the scripture reference on there to save us a little time as we go through reading some of the scriptures. But 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, was what I did not put on the handout, will be our text verse. And 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly," what does your Bible say? "Esteemed." Now, bear with me for a little Douglas theology here, and we'll pray and get on with our lesson. He didn't say those I do not honor, I will not honor, but he said they would be lightly esteemed. And I think that's also a lesson for us to consider. Just because someone else treats us badly doesn't mean we need to treat them that way in return. We're still Christians. We're still believers. We can still be tactful. We can still be polite. And we do not have to return dishonor for the dishonor that we receive. But we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. Once again, it's the evening and my throat's beginning to go out on me. And I just pray that you'd help me, give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Pray that you'd help us tonight as we look through and have a time of study tonight, as well as coming weeks, Lord, as we look at the aspect of honor and choosing and making a choice to honor God, the things of God, the people of God. And Father, I pray that you'd use it to be a blessing, to be a source of encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Here over the, as I mentioned, over the next few weeks, we'll look at this aspect. But to help us to gain a little bit deeper understanding of what honor means, let's take a look at what at a real life story of those who did and did not honor God here in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and then of course in Judges. And as we look at this, notice the contrast between those who clearly set out to honor God and those who set out to honor themselves. As we look at a little more background here, this is a story of a very dark time in Israel's history. In fact, the last words of the book of Judges are found in Judges chapter 1 and verse 25, chapter 21. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which is right in his own eyes." I believe we're there today once again. I believe there again where people just do say and behave any way they want, thinking there is should be no response. And it's been that way now for several years. And we're starting to see a little bit where some folks are being arrested for crimes. But once again, there are people being arrested, brought in the front door, released in the back door. Or police are just handcuffed to the point they say, why even bother to do anything? It's ridiculous. But it should not change our viewpoints. It should not change how we feel about one another, about our Lord, about our church, about our community, about our country, and how we should behave. You see, it was in this period of time that the childless wife named Hannah is introduced to us here in chapter 2. She is in earnest prayer in the tabernacle in Shiloh and is assured by the priest that her prayer for a child will be answered. And through the course of her prayer, she promises that God that if God will grant her a son, that she will return the child for him and for his service to be used. It is with this brief background that we will consider some of the aspects of honor this evening. What are the differences between honoring God and honoring ourselves? If we had to explain or had a debate or a discussion or just in general talked around the table about what it means to honor God and what it means to honor self. Most of us here tonight are more seasoned Christians. You know exactly what it means. We have no problems discussing. But there may be times where people enter the room. There may be time where people join us in a Bible study, that join us in a church service that may not be church. So it's important for me to try to have that balance where that I'm not always just teaching and preaching to the present congregation, but also those that the Lord will bring with us. So for some of you, it may be re-looking at it. You may be already very familiar with it, but hopefully we'll see some things or remind us some things that will help us. So what do we consider to be our best? Point number one, how do we honor God? By presenting our best to the Lord. By presenting our best to the Lord. So let me ask you a question before we read 1 Samuel 1, 24 through 28. What do we consider to be our best? Question number one. Question number two, is our best also the best for the Lord? In other words, what we consider to be our best, or do we keep it back? I'm so glad they handed it and say, oh Lord, yeah, you gave me a son, but I didn't mean my first son. I meant my next one. Then I'll give it to him. Michelle and I served years on the mission field. Michelle served on the mission field with her family. Just kind of an illustration. Would you believe one time that we got a letter and a package from someone who sent us used tea bags because they thought it still had enough left in it to make a few cups of tea? That wasn't their best, was it? Do we do this? Do we treat the Lord the same way? Is our best categorized in the same way when we say we'll give our best to the Lord? Or do we want to separate? Whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, that's good. Maybe it's my best, but I didn't mean that best for the Lord. Or do we realize and understand that everything that we have belongs to Him? 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's begin reading verse 24. And when she had weaned him, referring to Hannah, she took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She made a promise. She asked the Lord to give something. And Lord, if you'll do it, I'll give you to that. I know during wartime, whether it be Vietnam, Iraqi freedom, or whatever you want to look at, there's been some foxhole decisions, even some foxhole conversions, maybe even some mamas and daddies back in the States. If you'll just bring my child back, Lord, if you'll just let me get back, I promise, and you fill in the blank. There's a lot of other areas we can look at as well where we make commitments and we make promises, but then we change our mind. Hannah knew that what she had to offer was what God had already given her. So it was easy for her. God had already given it to me. The word lent here means to offer upon request. To offer upon request. In other words, when the Lord asks, I make the commitment. When it happens, boom, it happens upon the request or the happening of that promise. Whatever I have, it is available to the Lord. Notice here, my plans, my friends, my talents, my anything belongs to the Lord. Is there anything that we possess, that we own, we have, we've borrowed, we've assumed, we have taken in, however you want to categorize it, that is yours? Or do we see everything that we have as belonging to the Lord, and I'm just a steward? It's all His, but I'm just a steward of it. I will use it to honor Him. I will use it to glorify Him. I will use it as He directs me to use it. See, honoring self involves keeping back the best for our pleasure. Let me say that again. Honoring self involves keeping back the best for our pleasure. What is it that we think that we deserve more than God? We'll get to this a little more in our story. Let's go here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. Part of this, we'll see a good example. Part of it is here, is mandated, and it's what God wants and what God has established. Another other part of the verse is self, where someone is stepping in and making a change and saying, I don't care what's been taking place. I don't care how things are being done. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the priest says. I don't care what the tabernacle says. I don't care what the prophet says. This is what I want to do. This is what I want. Let me say it another one. I have my rights. We hear that today, don't we? Hey, it either all belongs to God, believing me, myself, what I possess, and what's in my wallet. Have I shared the illustration about my wallet and how I keep my money in my wallet? Have I done that here? I've done it so many times in missions conferences. I have a tendency to hold up the whole line at the grocery store, because if I have it, it has to be ones, fives, tens, and twenties, and fifties, and so forth and so on. When we were in Europe, it was different because they had several different denominations. So my wife and my daughter knows that if I have anything larger or any larger bill, it's in the back of my wallet because it's in order. So they want to go somewhere, they would always just ask, Daddy, can I have what's in the back? If we're going to go to the mall or go shopping. But often how many times I've opened my wallet and started in the front, and the Holy Spirit told me, if this belongs to me, why are you starting in the front, not in the back? Because the bigger bill is in the back of the wallet, not in the front. Tonight I think I have a couple of fives, a tens, and a 20, so a 20 is in the back. Are we willing to give our best? Do we look at what we have and say, Lord, it belongs to you anyway? Notice if you catch this as we read this passage. 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Again, the word Belial means worthless. And the priests, notice that, not only were they sons of Belial, the Bible clearly says they knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom and the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh had brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh and all that the Israelites that came hither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man saith unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him and say, nay, but thou shalt give me. Notice there, thou shalt give it me now. Give me. And if not, I will take it by force. What can you imagine at an altar? Can you imagine at a sacrifice? This is what you're going to give. This is what you're going to do. Or the priest is going to wrestle it away from you. The servant is. Can you imagine at the altar? Hey, you're going to get right with God and get saved? Or I'm going to deal with it. Hey, deacons, come over here. Hey, come over here. Well, let's go ahead and get this guy. There's no free offering there. There's no willingness to give. They're being forced in their service because of corrupt sons of Eli. He says, nay, but thou shalt give it me now. If not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, and they abhorred the offering of the Lord. Can you imagine being in a position and a place because of your spiritual leadership that you hated to even go to the tabernacle to make an offering? Because they were making a mockery of the picture of the sign or what was being present of the shed blood, the offering to God according to the Old Testament law. Here again, the word Belial here means worthless. Yet, though being worthless, they apparently ascribed much more worth to themselves. Did they not? In fact, they ascribed so much worth to themselves that they began to keep back that which clearly belonged to the Lord. Is there anything that we possess, anything that we have in our life that we are holding back that we know belongs to Him? Our time, our talents. Is there anything that we're even robbing? Actually, when we rob, we're robbing the Lord of things that belong to Him. We're robbing ourselves of the blessing. We're robbing ourselves of the time of spending with Him in prayer, Bible study, witnessing, sharing with others, or whatever it may be. See, again, they ascribed so much worth to themselves that they began to keep back that which clearly belonged to the Lord. And in contrast to how Hannah approached her offerings to the Lord, these men believed that God somehow owed them something, as if their service to Him made both God and those around them indebted to them. That's the approach. And I took the time this past week and read some things that I've never read before. Not that they were bad, but it's Christian periodicals. And there's an organization, I can't remember the name now, that they strive to hold religious organizations accountable on how they spend their monies. They get graded according to how openly and responsible they are with their income and how monies are spent on these nonprofit religious organizations and some others that are not religious, just nonprofit. And they give them grades. And I was surprised as reading the articles of some of the men that were involved and some pastors of mega churches where they had to resign or looking at charges because somewhere along the way they figured themselves that, hey, I deserve more. They demanded more, they took more, they stole more, and now they're paying the consequences. Folks, we're still servants of the Lord, no matter what title goes before our name. We're still servants. And again, they felt their service to the Lord made both God and those around them indebted to them. Yet they were worthless. The Bible even says they knew not the Lord, but yet they were faking, they were lying. They were pretending to be something they were not. God had clearly laid out the provision for the priest, yet Hophni and Phinehas decided that God's provision for them was insufficient, and they were going to rob from God what they believed was their portion as well. Folks, we can't be robbers of the Lord. And we know through Scripture, we know what the Bible says, even in the book of Malachi. But how are we on our time of those things of giving back in service and ministry unto the Lord? They probably reason something like this. I'm offering my whole life in service to God. Therefore, I can keep back that which I believe belongs to me. Can you imagine? I'm going to keep back that which belongs to me because I think I am more value of what the law says. I think I have more value what the Word of God says. I think I have more value of what my congregation says. I think I have more value of what the company says. Therefore, I'm going to take my portion that I feel rightly belongs to me. Remember, they were called worthless, but claiming to be much more. Sound familiar today? I mean, just yesterday or this morning, this afternoon, I can't remember. I took a nap this afternoon. Was it before nap or after nap? Another store in California was looted of more than $300,000 worth of things. No arrests have been made. Nordstrom's or something like that. Where people just felt like they had a right. So they go in and they take. It's so blazing now, they don't even wear a mask anymore. Again, taking that which they feel is owed to them because it has not been given to them. Therefore, I will take it. Dear friends, if we're going to honor God, we're going to honor our country, we're going to honor those around us, but more importantly, if we're going to honor God, we need to do so by presenting our best to the Lord, our best attitude, our best time of the day, our best that we can provide and give unto Him. And believe me, I understand, there are some days my best is a little better than other days. I know coming off of a 2 days on, 3 days off, or 3 days on, 2 days off on duty when I was in the military, my best coming off those duty days was not as soon as I got off. It was after I got home and slept for a while because I was exhausted. Sometimes our best is when we're fresh, but do we plan to make the time to make sure we're offering Him our best? Number two, not only by presenting our best to the Lord, but by keeping Him as the one I please. By keeping Him as the one I please. I know us men like to joke. Help me out, gentlemen. Our wives already know this secret. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody. I love Princess over here, but he must be in the preeminence. She is second. Only to the Lord, but she is second to the Lord. We must have our priorities straight. We need to keep Him as the one that we please. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 28, referring to young Samuel, and he worshiped the Lord there. I mean, right off when he was brought to the tabernacle, right off he was obviously already taught by his mother and brought to his young age, he already knew what he was to do, was to worship the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 11, the second section of that. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Once again, the foundation was laid, he was taught, he knew, and he was keeping Him as the one that he pleased. He honored the Lord. So often I think young people get saved, surrender to the ministry, go off to Bible college, they get to a point that enamored, they get starstruck, and it almost comes to the point they forget they were there to study, to prepare, to serve the Lord. And before they realize it, they're showing more respect to the pastor, to the college, to the staff, or to a ministry, and not what they were there. Those things are all good. But the reason they were there was for training and preparation for the ministry. Eli, young lad here, ministered unto the Lord before the priest. Samuel's focus was continually and entirely on God. I know it can be difficult, and don't misunderstand me. We can still spend time with family and still have the aspect of having things of God in mind. In other words, that's what keeps us from sin. That's what keeps us from carnality. That's what keeps us from saying things that we shouldn't say. Honoring self means I will keep self as the one I please. So we're going to make the decision of keeping Him, the Lord Jesus, our Heavenly Father, as the one we please, or we're going to honor self and we end up what? We keep self as the one that we please. Don't misunderstand me. I like every once in a while to pamper myself. When I pamper myself, it's probably a lot different than what you may think of, especially what some of you ladies may think of. When I pamper myself, I'll just be honest with you. I think my wife will agree with me. Sometimes I just want to be left alone. Just let me have a quiet room. Even in the dark, just leave me alone. No phone, no kids. I love you. No wife, no nobody, nothing but just me by myself. That's me pampering me, just quiet. But in that quiet, I can still honor the Lord. Because often at times when I need to pamper myself or feel the need is because I probably really, in reality, need to get away because I need to listen to God. I need to spend some time with the Lord. I need to spend some time in prayer beyond that which I normally may do. Clearly, Eli's sons were focused on themselves. They were more concerned of self. With a closer look, we will see that the reality is that Eli's focus on his children was, in essence, a focus on himself as well. There's nothing wrong with having kids, but we need to remember that that focus is still, it's in raising them unto the Lord and not overly protecting them. We've got, even today, we've got parents hiding kids. I was so pleased hearing the news a few times, only a couple of times, where parents actually picked up the phone and reported their kids because they say, that's my son looting. That's, what are they doing? And they turned them in. But that's a handful compared to the hundreds that were doing it. Because they were more concerned about not only the welfare and keeping their relationship possibly with the Lord if they were a believer, than they were about protecting their child and going to the lengths of protecting them for the wrong reason. Eli was a very large man. While he may have given some verbal correction to his son's sin, may have, he was actually partaker of the robbery of the sacrifice that belonged to God. So, a preacher, how do you know that? Well, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 29. Here a prophet came to correct the high priest, Eli, and listen to what he said to him in 1 Samuel 2, 29. Again, he wasn't keeping the Lord as the one to please. Wherefore, I kick ye at the sacrifice at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. He was accusing Eli, as well as his sons, of profiting, of sitting at the buffet and binging and buffeting their body with the sacrifices instead of what they were there for, a sacrificing unto the Lord. They were taking that which of not only the best, but more than they should have. Listen to some phrases that we use to justify our sins today. I like listening to that. But I really love him or her. We've all heard it. Or, it's my favorite show. Folks, I don't know about you. Over the last year and a half, there's been some things that I used to watch occasionally on TV that I quit watching. Just quit. In fact, I heard something on the news today. I'll never step foot in a Best Buy again. If you want to know why, ask me after service. I'll tell you. We have gone. We live in such a time, and I don't want to ride a hobby horse on our woke society, but what has it done to our country? And as we look in comparison to the Word of God, they're putting others above others instead of treating everyone the same, putting everything above the Lord in the church. I read another article this week. I do not agree with him, so I will not use his name. But he was doing, I think he did 150 concerts since 2020 with the aspect of praise and worship. Now, I would disagree with him because he's using that as in calling it the church. But needless to say, I will defend this part of it. He was holding these worship services, having music, and often he would get shut down, permits pulled at the last minute, going through some ridicule and some persecution. And I was glad to hear him to say and point out some other things that have taken place through COVID, before COVID, during, and even after that was taking place of all the protests and all the lootings that took place and nothing is being done, and yet you're threatening to lock me up for singing. I wasn't doing anything. We were just singing. We got a keyboard, a guitar. They may have had a few other instruments. I didn't read the whole article, nor did I listen to the music. But the whole aspect was they were shutting them down because they wanted to praise the Lord and sing music. And yet all the other things that were taking place, that have taken place around our country, were given free rein. In fact, others may have done it without even... He went through the process of getting the right permits to do it the right way. He still succeeded in having 150 of these worship services. Again, I don't agree with what he was doing. And folks, let me say this. Methods matter. But I will defend his right to preach the word and sing and to praise the Lord. I will not. I may not disagree with some of the other cults and churches in this community, but I will stand next to them and protest at the abortion clinic. Because I'm not there to join hands with them. I'm there to defend those babies that are aborted like crazy. You understand what I'm saying? I don't necessarily agree with his methods he was using, but I must defend his right to do what he was doing. And today we must understand and realize if we are going to honor God, we need to do so not only presenting our best to the Lord and living that example, we also need to do so by keeping him as the one that I please. Keeping him. What is it each and every day do you wake up, do we ask ourselves the question, Lord, what can I do to please you today? Lord, what can I do to honor you today? Lord, what is it that thou would have me do today? No, we've gotten away so much in so many areas of thinking about sometimes just the simple things. Just the simple things of having faith in God, serving and living for the Lord, no matter what the Lord's answer may be. I'll close with this example, kind of remember this off the top of my head. I won't have all the details, I'm sure. So one of our prophets prayed for rain. It was a space of like 7 years where it did not rain. He prayed for rain, sent out his servant to look for the cloud, went out, came back several times. Later he came back and said, yes, there, I see a cloud, it's in a shape, it looks like a hand. And then right away, the prophet made a decision, okay, that's the sign of the Lord, go tell the king it's going to rain. By faith, they made prayer, they knew that God was going to do it. God said he would, he didn't say when. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, my friends, that God is going to send revival. I believe with all of my heart there's still a time that we can have another great awakening in our country. But the thing about it is, do we have the faith to believe and work as if God will do it, trusting him to do it when he pleases? See, it may not be in my, I don't know when the Lord's going to return, but we are to attempt the great things for the Lord. We're to continue to serve him and honor him and not sit back and think like here the priests did. They're more concerned about him, his boys more concerned about themselves than the people of God. What is best for our country, what is best for our community, what is best for our church is to see a great awakening, to see a return to God. We don't know when it would happen, but are we willing to work and pray by faith that it's going to happen, God's going to do something, whether I see it in my lifetime or not, I'm going to prepare for it. There's a saying, and I hope I don't mess it up. There's times when we're seeing great things happen, and often it's because of those before us who did the labor. There's going to be times where we're going to labor and do all that we can, and we may see nothing, but those who come behind us will see, because as we lay the foundation, we need to make the decision individually and collectively. We're going to honor God. We're just going to honor him. Doesn't matter what the world's doing. Doesn't matter what my neighbor's doing. Doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to make a choice. And I want to honor him and do all that I can. And next week we'll go a little further. But I want to start, as we mentioned tonight, I am going to present my best. And I am going to keep him first as the one I please in all things. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy of service, and the joy of fellowship. We thank you for the word that we have in our hands. Lord, that we can open up a book, open up a tablet, open up a computer. We have so many conveniences where we can look and study the word of God. Father, help us to take full advantage of that which we have in studying and becoming closer to you and using those things which we learn to share with others. Father, help us to honor you. Father, the buck stops here with the pastor. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything goes well, sometimes the pastor gets the credit. When things don't go well, he always gets the credit. But that's part of leadership. So Father, help starting with me and Miss Michelle, our deacons, our trustees, our congregation, to make the decision to set the example. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to set out to please him and to serve him each and every day, fresh and anew. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Lord bless you.